This is your turn. The Big One, AM 1280 WBIG, presents your opportunity to voice your opinion on the air by dialing 585-1280. Your Turn is a daily open forum for conversation, including your thoughts, your comments, your opinions, and your ideas. To take your turn, dial 585-1280. That's area code 630-585-1280. Now here is your host and moderator, Ron Newman.
Now we're going to cut the opening theme short here in order that we might get right back to my guests. In the studio with me, if you've just joined us, and I hope you've been with us since 8:15 this morning, Mark Sotto, a legal researcher, is here. And also in the studio with me is Tim Wingate. And we want you to stay tuned because there's going to be a lot of information to get out here. And if we have time to take any phone calls, we will do so a little later. Right now, I do have an announcement that I have been asked to make on the air. This Sunday, December 14th, from 6 to 7 p.m., the 4th Street United Methodist Church at the corner of 4th and Marion will present a live nativity. Members of the church will reenact the story of the birth of Jesus as narrated to spectators. There will be live animals to pet after the reenactment, and refreshments will be served in the church's dining hall. And they have been doing this, I know, for quite a number of years. And it might be something fun to take the whole family to this evening. That's Sunday, December 14th, 6 to 7 p.m., a live nativity at 4th Street United Methodist Church, and that takes a number of dedicated people to put that together, and we hope that you'll take the time to attend and see it for yourself. Kind of get everybody into the Christmas spirit here.
Goody.
Mark and Tim, welcome back.
Thank you. All right,
let's find out something. First of all, the Judicial Reform Act of 1947, which prior to making the arrangements for these shows on Judicial Corruption Week, I had not heard of. And I think the question is, you know, how do we get into this mess in the first place? You said before the 9 o'clock news, Mark, that, you know, when I asked you about can we fix the system, you said there's nothing to fix. We don't have the same judicial system that we had.
Right.
I suspect, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Judicial Reform Act of 1947 probably had something to do with that to a lesser or perhaps greater degree.
That act was kind of a final nail in our coffin. Actually, it started well before that, but I think a key place where we're at least given a foretaste of things to come was the case of Downs versus Bidwell. It's a 1901 Supreme Court case involving the territory of Puerto Rico, and in that case, it was a strange opinion because the opinion that was given the lead spot in the West Publishing books was written by Justice Brown, who was also responsible for the separate but equal opinion in Plessy versus Ferguson. But Justice Brown's opinion was castigated by all eight of the other justices. Now, it just so happens there was one judge who wrote and agreed with the result but disagreed with Brown's reasoning. There were four who agreed with the result, but vehemently disagreed with the reasoning, and then there were three who dissented vehemently. So none of the other justices agreed with Brown, but Brown's opinion was given the lead space as though that was the opinion that was going to be the holding. Now, the reason why that case is very important is that the dissent of Justice John Marshall Harlan is very instructive, and what he said in there was this. The idea prevails with some, indeed it found expression in arguments at the bar, that we have in this country substantially or practically two national governments, one to be maintained under the Constitution with all its restrictions, the other to be maintained by Congress outside and independently of that instrument by exercising such powers as other nations of the earth are accustomed to exercise. It's quite a different thing to say that Congress may, if it so elects, proceed outside of the Constitution. The glory of our American system of government is that it was created by a written Constitution which protects the people against the exercise of arbitrary, unlimited power and the limits of which instrument may not be passed by the government it created or by any branch of it, or even by the people who ordained it, except by amendment or change of its provisions. Obviously, he's speaking of a terrible, terrible circumstance where we suddenly have two governments, not just one. What he says is that, what he also says is that we are now informed that Congress possesses powers outside of the Constitution and may deal with new territory acquired by treaty or conquest in the same manner as other nations have been accustomed to act with respect to territories acquired by them. Monarchical and despotic governments, unrestrained by written constitutions, may do with newly acquired territories what this government may not do consistently with our fundamental law. To say otherwise is to concede that Congress may, by action taken outside of the Constitution and graft upon our republican institutions, a colonial system, such as exists under monarchical governments. Now, he also further says that if, obviously he was aware that it was a 1-8 decision as to the reasoning behind this case. What he said was, if the principles thus announced should ever receive the sanction of a majority of this court, a radical and mischievous change in our system will be the result. We will in that event pass from the era of constitutional liberty guarded and protected by a written constitution into an era of legislative absolutism. Now, you would think with that kind of warning, people would very diligently attempt to eradicate any idea that we could install another national government next to or in derogation of the one we already had. But in 1945, in a case entitled Hooven versus Evatt, the Supreme Court did exactly that. What they did was they approved a different definition of the United States than it had ever been conceived of. Now, they even...
A definition of the United States itself?
Yes. Yes. Now, in Hooven versus Evatt, what they said was there were three ways that the United States could be defined. One was as a nation amongst the family of nations, as a territory, or as the states which were constitutionally devised. Now, definitions 1 and 3, as they admit in one of their footnotes, are the only two known to the Constitution. So what they're saying is we may now redefine the United States territorially. Of course, if you remember what I just said about Downs versus Bidwell, it was a case involving the territory of Puerto Rico. Now, they were going to say that we're allowed to treat Puerto Rico differently because it's territorial, and therefore they don't have the rights we have, they're not inalienable, we don't have to obey the Constitution when legislating for Puerto Rico. And so essentially what the court was doing in Hooven versus Evatt was they're allowing a territorial definition of the United States. Now, they didn't say, okay, now we're going to reapply that definition backwards on the states. They didn't say that at that point, but they were opening the way up for that possibility, and that's exactly what happened. Okay, what eventually happened, first of all, we had the Judicial Reform Act, in which they changed the character of the courts, the federal courts in this country. And the way in which they did it, one of the most important ways they did it, was they said, okay, we're going to define the United States in this fashion. And what they did with that was they said, okay, we're going to define the United States according to a 1917 act, which had to do with a national emergency. It was a national security act. It had to do with wartime. And so you would obviously you'd have to know that that act pertained only to a wartime national emergency situation having been passed in 1917. But now they're going to define the United States in the judicial codes, in the reformed codes, according to a wartime and national emergency act. And of course, if you read that act, what you find is that the United States is defined according to whether you are in an armory, a naval shipyard, a military base, etc.
Does this have anything to do with the the War Powers Act?
In effect, yes. Now, this the Act of 1917 effectively was dealing with espionage and sabotage. And so they were defining the United States in terms of federal enclaves. Now, federal enclaves are defined as the only areas within the states to which the federal entity has been granted or ceded jurisdiction by the states. Now, otherwise, there are no areas within the states in which there is true federal jurisdiction. In other words, the fact that you have these federal guys just crawling all over everything was not the way it jurisdiction was set up originally.
Right. Okay. It was called free and separate states,
right.
I think.
Originally, state within each state, a federal entity only had jurisdiction if a state legislature passed legislation that said we cede jurisdiction to the federal entity for this purpose. It might be for a post office, might be for a military base, might be for a shipyard, might be for an armory.
But that permission has to come specifically and exclusively from the state to the federal government.
Exactly.
Saying, we will allow this.
Exactly. And that's so when you talk about this 1917 Act and their definition of the United States, they are clearly talking about federal enclave jurisdiction. And yet now they're saying, okay, in the Judicial Reform Act of 1947, they're saying, okay, this is the definition of the United States which we're going to use applicable in the federal courts. So in effect, what they did with that, for instance, in a criminal proceeding, is they're going to, when you walk into a criminal proceeding, and it says United States versus, say, Mark Sato.
Okay.
My name's all in caps. I am regarded as an artificial person who is subject to the federal enclave jurisdiction of the 1917 statute. In other words, I'm being considered an enemy combatant, which also flops over into the Patriot Act, but that's another discussion. What has happened is that our entire country has been redefined. You know, things don't look different. You look around, hey, still looks like the United States to me. Ah, but the legal definition has changed. And your status as a citizen has changed. If you are subject to U.S. jurisdiction, the municipal corporate United States jurisdiction, then you are subject to it in this fashion as an enemy combatant, and you are considered without rights as the Patriot Act that's set forth in the Patriot Act that way. You don't have any rights because you're an enemy combatant. And so the Patriot Act is simply a further clarification and expression of this definition of the United States in the Judicial Reform Act of 1947.
So that's where we end up not having the rights we think we have.
Exactly. Because what they effectively do, if as Justice Harlan said, they're operating outside of the Constitution, which they are, now they can pretend they're operating inside the Constitution, and they do. And they say things like Article 3 court. We're in an Article 3 court. Well, no. You see, what happened is you have the original Constitution, and then you have the Constitution annotated. That's two different things.
Here,
okay.
Maybe what we need to do is clarify this a little bit more.
I'll tell you what.
We're kind of moving into a different area.
All right. Hold that thought. We'll be right back after this timeout on Part 6 of Judicial Corruption Week here on AM 1280.
Grandma, Mommy says your holiday recipes are secret.
Well, dear, because you're my favorite, I've decided to pass them on to you.
Wow!
I go to GFS Marketplace.
Huh?
Gordon Food Service Marketplace. I shop for all my holiday events, small or large. It's easy to get in and out, and the service is absolutely wonderful, unlike those crowded superstores. At GFS, there's over 3,000 quality products, including pre-cooked meals, ready to warm and pop in my good china.
You mean everything but your famous jalap potatoes?
No, dear.
Your meatballs?
No.
You mean your holiday cookies?
Yes, GFS pre-shaped dough.
Mommy wouldn't pay to go to a club.
Oh, no, my dear. GFS Marketplace has no membership fees.
So Mom could host a holiday dinner?
No, dear. That's our little secret.
GFS Marketplace with 9 convenient Chicagoland locations. See your Yellow Pages under Party Supplies for the location nearest you.
Hey, ladies. Once you try the new threading hair removal technique at the Hair Garden Full Service Salon and Day Spa in Westmont, you'll never wax or tweeze again. Hair Garden also offers temporary henna tattooing, manicures, pedicures, and so much more. Call 769-0100 today for an appointment at the Hair Garden, located on the corner of 63rd Street and Fairview in Westmont. That's 769-0100. Hair Garden, in relentless pursuit of perfect beauty.
Where can you enjoy the best new movies in a comfortable and spacious setting? Presenting the Bloomingdale Cinema in the Bloomingdale Court Mall. This week's features include Lord of the Rings, Something's Gotta Give, and The Last Samurai. The Bloomingdale Cinema, featuring DTS Digital Stereo, offers free refills on soda and popcorn and has gift certificates available for all your holiday gift-giving needs. The Bloomingdale Cinema is at 324 West Army Trail Road by Walmart in Bloomingdale. Call 630-529-1000 or visit VillageTheaters.com.
You want your car fixed right the first time? So do we. Clark's Car Care is family-owned and operated. We have 13 years of experience in the automotive industry, and when we do a job, we do it right the first time. We're located just three blocks west of Route 59 off North Aurora Road in Naperville. If you want honest opinions, honest work, and honest prices, come to Clark's Car Care. You can check us out on the website at ClarksCarCare.com and see what our customers are saying about us. Mention WBIG when you call and get a free AC system inspection with any service, a $49.99 value. Call 630-527-0900 967 for an appointment today.
The Radisson Hotel Chicago Alsop invites you to enjoy your holidays with us. Centrally located at 127 between Cicero Avenue and Route 83, Radisson Hotel Chicago Alsop offers you an award-winning holiday party that you design. Begin with your selection of sweet potato and buttered squash soup or cream of pumpkin. After your entree, enjoy exquisite desserts from raspberry or pumpkin praline cheesecake to flourless chocolate cake with raspberry sauce. Just call 708-371-7300. The Radisson Hotel Chicago Alsop, the perfect place this holiday season.
We talk about what you're talking about every weekday morning on your turn. Share your thoughts by dialing 585-1280, 630-585-1280. Now more of your turn and Ron Newman.
What?
It's 934. Tim Wingate, Mark Sato here in the studio with us. And where did we leave off, Mark? Why don't you pick it up from here?
Well, we left off at the point at which I was describing how the United States was legally redefined by the Judicial Reform Act according to a wartime and national emergency measure from 1917.
Which, in effect, turned us into being treated as a territory.
Right. It effectively turned us into a territory, which, of course, puts us back into the definition of the United States as a territory from Hooven versus Evatt from 1945. Subsequently, the courts, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's see here. Oh, okay. The effect of the Judicial Reform Act was that they came out with two sets of rule books. One is called the Federal Civil Judicial Procedure and Rules, and the other was called the Federal Criminal Procedure. And what Federal Criminal Code and Procedure, I'm sorry. But the effect of that was to turn the entire judicial system into a Roman civil law system. Now, in Roman civil law, it's not defined the same way we define civil. In Roman civil law, both criminal and what we call civil cases were under one jurisdiction. And, of course, that's a problem because where you have both the criminal and civil under one jurisdiction, there's a lot of slop over. The reason why there's only one federal civil judicial procedure is that that also includes the federal criminal code. So there's only one federal civil procedure which deals with the judges, and those are all with regard to the Judicial Reform Act, having turned the judges into what in effect are commissioners. Now, in a case called In re Ferreira, back in 1853, I believe it was, Chief Justice Taney took a case and wrote an opinion on a case in which the Congress tried to turn federal district judges into commissioners for the purposes of settling war claims. And what Chief Justice Taney said was that you can't do that. You can't take an Article III judge and flip him over into an executive branch tribunal as a commissioner, and expect us to sit here and take it. So he said, we're not going to make any opinion on this because it's just so far off the wall that there's no point. However, subsequently, in a case called Mastretta versus Commissioner of Internal Revenue, Justice Blackmun decided to take Ferreira and twist it all up and say, we can do that. We can make federal judges into commissioners. And so that's all from the Judicial Reform Act. They effectively change hats or can change hats in midstream, and they don't have to tell you this. There is no federal procedure which says, okay, we're going to reassign this federal Article III judge from a regular courtroom into an administrative hearing under the executive branch.
Can I ask you a real quick question?
Sure.
All right, if that's the case, then if somebody challenges a judge on that and says, I know what you're doing, you're putting yourself in the position of a commissioner instead of a judge, he'll say, hey, it's perfectly legal due to the Judicial Reform Act of 1947, but here's the point. It's unconstitutional, right?
Well, under the original Constitution, but like I said, since they're not operating under the old national government.
But then that shouldn't count, Mark.
Well, this is...
You can say, wait a minute, we have a rule book here.
Well, see, that's, you're dealing with legal fictions now. Okay, a legal fiction is whatever they say is true. And if you have a legal fiction, you can still lose all your money, you can still get thrown in jail, you can still get executed under a legal fiction. It's done all the time.
There's that definite... It all depends on what your definition of is.
Exactly. Right. It's very arbitrary and capricious, and that's the whole problem. That's why this is Alice through the looking glass. It's whatever they feel like. They can do whatever they feel like because, as Justice Harlan pointed out, they were told back then, Congress may operate outside of the Constitution with regard to territories. Well, if you turn the United States into a territory, and they did, because the jurisdiction they converted us all over to was called Special Maritime and Territorial Jurisdiction. Now, that is a very unusual jurisdiction. It's never existed before in the history of man. It combines maritime with territory.
The law of the sea.
You have the law of the sea with the law of the land. And they have never been commingled before because they're two completely different situations, which relates back to the law of capture. But it says special maritime and territorial jurisdiction because now we're going to redefine everything completely. We're going to redefine everything completely into this make-believe jurisdiction in which anything goes. Special means, actually, they could say anything after special. Special is one of those words which redefines everything and anything. So you can say, well, special forces. We send special forces down to Panama to go and arrest General Manuel Noriega. Special means, okay, this is not actually a declaration of war, and it's actually illegal under international law for us to go arrest Manuel Noriega in Panama because he's the head of a sovereign nation. But no, we're going to use special forces because what we're really doing is we're using the municipal law of this country and go outside the boundaries of this country in a special kind of way to go violate international law and arrest General Noriega in his homeland.
So what we end up having here is we find that our status has been changed without our knowledge, without our agreement, without our actual understanding of this whole situation. I was going to ask Mark, too. There's an evidence. People out there are probably going, I never heard of this stuff before. This sounds like a bunch of patriot mythology. This sounds like a bunch of this goofy legal theory that these people always talk about, and the gold fringe on the flag, and the name in all caps. And
the vast right-wing experience.
Oh, yeah. But there's a significant point that Mark can show us, and that is the names of the federal courts.
Well, with regard to that, the Judicial Reform Act changed the names of the courts, the federal courts. They changed the names from District Courts of the United States, which were defined as Article III courts, to United States District Courts, which were defined as territorial courts.
Which is contained in Article IV.
Right.
Of the Constitution.
Well, theoretically it's contained in Article IV, but...
territories are mentioned in Article IV.
Yes, territories are mentioned in Article IV, and that's why Justice Scalia in both Mistretta and another case titled Freitag versus Commissioner of Internal Revenue. He called these kinds of courts branchless agencies.
Yeah.
Junior varsity, the Junior Varsity Congress. He called them.
He wasn't very nice.
Well, but you
I
see,
mean, he was naming them for what they
he
were.
He called them Article IV
yeah.
courts. He was naming names, and he was telling you exactly what he thought of this situation. He was very unfavorably disposed to what the Supreme Court was doing, and yet he still didn't come on and tell us, hey, you know, the real problem is we're actually operating with two different national governments, actually one national government at this point. The one which survived is the one which is defined under the Judicial Reform Act as this wartime and national emergency state, and we don't have the original Constitution anymore.
Well, it's still there. It's just that we're not. The issue is how do we apply it to the government now?
Well, you can't. You can't do that because you see they have the United States District Courts, which are not true Article III courts, and what effectively they did in a later case entitled, if I could find that guy.
If I could go back just for a second here to the name change, the people look and they go, oh, what's the difference? You know, they both got federal in them, they both got district courts. The way that the name changes is that the first one, the way that they were originally, he says, of the United States. That means deriving the power from.
Exactly.
The right. constitutional United States. Now they're just declared to be federal district courts.
Right, exactly. And what happened was in Hooven versus Evatt, they were effectively giving the court's blessing for the Judicial Reform Act. They're saying, okay, we're going to add this territorial definition definition of the United States, and that's why Judicial Reform Act of 1947 redefined the United States as a special maritime and territorial jurisdiction. The territorial allows them to treat everyone as though we're in a definition to territorial United States country. We don't have a country anymore. It's just a territory. And because they can operate outside the Constitution, there are no rules anymore. What are the rules all based on? They're all based on the original Constitution. So if you don't have it anymore, at any moment that the judge wants to, you can go along and you can have your Fifth Amendment right.
Keep up the appearance.
You can keep up the appearance. But at the moment that the whim strikes them, that the notion strikes them, boom, you're out the door and you're done.
And hey, this is what needs to be exposed.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yes, exactly.
Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes, exactly. Yes, we are. Yeah, and exactly. This is the important thing that we've been trying to bring out all this week, is that people know, people feel in their bones, if you will, that something's wrong. They're
right.
not exactly sure what it is.
Right,
they can't exactly put their finger on it. It's kind of like what Morpheus was saying to Neo in the original Matrix movie.
Yeah.
It's like a splinter in your mind. You know something's not right, but you can't put your finger on it. This is where it started.
And when you ask them, they say, well, what do you mean?
And they can perfectly deny it. And that's why we, the people, have to stand up and say, enough with the fraud. Enough. So we need to get into some of the remedies and solutions to the problem.
By the way, I want Tim to mention something because
sure.
one of our guests that was on, I believe Wednesday, T.J. Henderson, will be giving an 8-hour, or who knows, maybe more, seminar. They usually
right.
run longer because people have questions. Tim, how can people go here and see?
Okay, T.J. Henderson's Legal Research Seminar. It's going to be held at 114 South Crest in Bartlett, Illinois. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. Come a little bit earlier if you would like to get situated. The requested donation is $50 per person. And you can get more information on that at this phone number.
And directions.
And directions to get to 114 South Crest, Bartlett, Illinois.
Name is
and
Shane Vincent, right?
There you go. Shane Vincent's house, yes. And that is area code 630-936-9550. And I'll say it one more time.
All right.
Area code 630-936-9550.
We are going to take a short break, and we'll be back with the final segment of Part 6 of Judicial Corruption Week here on AM 1280.
Chicagoland, it's been a long time since a unique restaurant has come into our area with the taste, style, and atmosphere of Camille's Sidewalk Cafe. Located in the shops of Geneva Commons across from Galleon's facing Randall Road, Camille's will fast become the destination point in the Tri-Cities. Its warm atmosphere and great menu will attract and keep customers coming back every week.
Hi, I'm Pat Agostinelli, owner of Camille's Sidewalk Cafe, and I'm inviting you to visit Camille's. Once you try our grilled hot wraps and paninis, you'll be hooked. Our food philosophy is not about the bread, but all about the filling. Please visit Camille's to eat, relax, and enjoy.
Just look for a bright green sign for Camille's Sidewalk Cafe, located in the shops of Geneva Commons, where nothing is common, especially Camille's. Phone 630-845-0600. That's 630-845-0600 for Camille's Sidewalk Cafe.
Roly Poly. What is a roly-poly? Is it a new board game? Nope. Is it a new amusement ride? Nope. Is it that extra overhang around your belt? Nope. Roly-poly is a new sandwich shop in Geneva Commons that will cause you to say roly-poly with affection and a growl in your tummy. Roly-polies are hot and cold rolled sandwiches that will satisfy the most discriminating taste. And right now, they're offering Kids Eat Free for Dinner, Monday through Friday after 3 p.m. See store for details. Roly-polies in Geneva Commons, a new sandwich that will make you smile with satisfaction.
Do you miss the days when you could watch your favorite movie classics on the big screen? Announcing the opening of the Wheaton Grand Theater in beautiful downtown Wheaton. Every weekend, the Wheaton Grand Theater will feature a movie classic on Friday and Saturday evening with a 2 p.m. matinee on Saturday and Sunday.
This week's feature is Chevy Chase and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
For future movies and events at the Wheaton Grand Theater, call 630-221-0667 or visit wheatongrand.org.
What's hot this holiday season?
The thrill of the chill.
Come to Rocket Ice Arena in Bolingbrook and learn to skate. Located on Canterbury Lane by City Hall, the Rocket Ice Arena is home to various programs for all ages, all skill levels, and are starting soon. So call 630-679-1700. That's 630-679-1700. Learn to figure skate. Play hockey. You choose. It's great exercise and lots of fun. Give something special this holiday season. Give them the thrill of the chill. At Rocket Ice Arena in Bolingbrook. Call 630-679-1700.
Take your turn. Dial 585-1280, area code 630-585-1280. Now more Your Turn and Ron Newman.
949. Well, I guess the grand question, and if it's at all possible, I'd like to get to some callers because they're all bringing up some real good points. Tim?
Okay. Before we get going, everyone grab your pencils and paper because I'm going to give you some websites to get a hold of to get further information on this, and then we're going to go to back to Mark to get the solution on how to deal with this problem. If we have time, we're definitely going to try and take a couple questions. All right. www.constitution.org. All right.
Okay. Constitution.org.
That's correct. The next one is jail4judges.org.
Ooh, there's one I had.
Jail for Judges. They're dealing with the Judicial Accountability Initiative Act, where they want to put that into state constitutions that judges can be recalled.
Okay.
All right. The other one, of course, is Bob Schultz's GiveMeLiberty.org. And those would be three of the most important ones to deal with. I operate under three laws of tyranny. Tyranny law number one, any power that can be abused will be abused. Tyranny law number two, abuse always expands to fill the limits of resistance to it. And tyranny law number three, if people don't resist the abuses of others, they will have no one to resist the abuses of themselves, and tyranny will prevail. So, Mark, what do we do to fix this situation?
All right, here's the thing, and I don't mean to jump ahead of a caller here, but a caller brought up a big point. He said, you know, he said, these guys are just basically peeing into the wind here. Because he said, all they care about is power. And their power over you, and that's all they care about. Now, I'd like to find out from you, Mark Sotto, what can we do?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for over 20 years, so I'm not exactly optimistic with regard to a lot of the things that people have done in the past. They simply don't work because we don't have the system we used to have. So you can go into all the law books, you can go back and look up all the Supreme Court opinions and see what they've said in the past, and they simply don't apply. What you have instead of the constitutional forms of government, the Republican forms of government that we used to have, you have municipal corporations in their stead. The United States as a municipal corporation was incorporated in 1871, and they've been working hard at it ever since to incorporate all the other states and all the other municipalities and counties into that one gigantic corporation ever since. That leaves us in a situation where, for instance, Governor Rod Blagojevich wears two hats. He wears the hat of the duly elected governor of the constitutional state of Illinois, and he also wears a hat of the CEO of the municipal corporation known as the state of Illinois. Unfortunately for all these guys, they might not understand what they're doing, but they can't hide behind the fact that they are, as opposed to a de jure governor, they are a de facto governor. Under the common law, it's the same thing. If you act as though you are an officer, you are an officer. And you can be removed in the same way. The common law provided for giving notice to public officers who did not do their duty, who did not fulfill their duties, and that made it a crime for them not to do their duties. And so there is a method which has never been used very much in this country at all, which is to, under the common law, remove such federal officers. To cause their offices to become vacant. That's one method. Now, again, that's not been used in this country heretofore. The other method is to use attorney informants under In re Bruce Lindsay and under In re Himmel, which is an Illinois case. In re Bruce Lindsay involved the counsel to President Clinton. Public lawyers and lawyers are required to inform when either their fellow lawyers or their clients do wrong, commit wrongdoing, not their private clients.
I hate to do this to you.
Go ahead.
Have you got more points as to what we can do?
Well, that's essentially the other. Well, there's one more point. One more point is that there is something called a confession of judgment, which goes along with removal. Under the contract that all public officials are supposed to take when they take the oath of office required under the Constitution, they are subject to a confession of judgment. And so you don't need a court to have them found to be in dereliction of duty. You can confess judgment for them.
What we're finding is that underneath, and I think this is how this is going to work, underneath the banner, if you will, of the We the People Congress, a lot of these methods are going to start to be implemented one at a time. We will use the court systems. We will use other methodologies to bring our public officials back underneath the rule of the people, because they are to be the servants, not we the people, the servants of the government.
You can get more information on that at givemeliberty.org. That's Bob Schultz's website for We the People Congress.
And if anyone has any other questions that they'd like to send it to my website. You can go to my website, seizeliberty.com.
Okay.
Seizeliberty.com. You can email me through the website.
All right.
And we will be happy to answer any question that way.
I've got three phone calls that I definitely want to get to. They're bringing up some good points. George, you got to be brief.
Okay. Gentlemen, you're correct. We're in Article 4 courts. Those are equity courts.
All right. Quickly.
Here's the site you can go find out. 1871, United States of the Federal Corporation. That's 28 U.S.C. 3002 1A 15. you contracted in, and you're under those courts of equity.
All right.
Your rights have been, you give them up.
Well, it's protection. Not a court of equity. There's no such thing anymore. You don't have a court of equity. You don't have...
But it functions as a court of equity.
They function as a court of equity, but they're not true equity courts.
Georgia, thank you for the call. Mac, you got to be brief.
All right, the only way these guys can legally get away with what the court system is doing is for them to have a constitutional amendment to override the 10th Amendment. What happened to our rights of states under the Constitution?
All right, good question.
You have to restore the original national government. We don't have the original national government anymore. It's been replaced.
All right. Okay. And, Carl, you're on the air. I didn't mean to spill the beans, but you're the one that said that...
I'm the one that brought up the point about urinating into a large fan.
Yes.
The federal government has the guns. The federal government has the money. The state governments have the guns. The state governments have the money. We officially, maybe not officially, but we do live in a police state. All you have to do is step outside the box, and you will find that you live in a police state. The next thing on their agenda is touchscreen voting, which is non-paper traceable. Whoever they want to win is going to win. Gentlemen, everything is safe, right? But urinating into the wind.
Carl, are you familiar with the verse that says, I shall confound the mighty with the weak things of the world?
Absolutely.
Pay attention to that.
Carl, thanks for hanging on. I appreciate it.
Good luck, but you have no choice, Ken. No chance, gentlemen.
No, we do have a chance, and we can save the society.
You were listening,
our
Carl.
Republic. We can do it, but there's a methodology we have to follow because we haven't done it before. And I urge people to take a look at the We the People organization. Follow the plan. As Bob Schultz said, if you're going to change society, if you're going to come up against a stronger force, you have to have three things. You have to have, number one, you have to be proactive. Number two, you must be nonviolent because they got all the guns. And number three, you have to have a mass movement. We have to unite to make this happen.
You know what? Carl brings up some good points because he's not alone. There's a lot of people that think that, you know, you're urinating into a fan here. That, in other words, hey, it's too late.
But those are Chicken Little patriots. I refuse to be a Chicken Little and say the sky is falling without at least attempting some form of a remedy.
And you guys say there's an end run around this.
That's right.
And you're maintaining that We the People Congress is the end run around
it. It's at least the umbrella organization that no one has to give up any of their special interests that they want to do.
I want to thank both of you guys, Mark Sato and Tim Wingate, for all you've done this entire week here and helping even get this whole thing together.
That's my pleasure.
It's been wonderful talking to you gentlemen and all the other people that we've had on Judicial Corruption Week. I hope that people will take a look at these websites and look them up. You know, look them up on the Internet. Find out what's going on out there.
If you want a list of those websites, also you can go to my website, seizeliberty.com. You can contact me that way. I'll get my email. Will come to me directly through that, through seizeliberty.com. Questions, we will answer those. Carpe Libertas.
Mark, you're a wonderful guest. Keep in touch with us here.
Okay.
Thanks very much, both of you gentlemen.
Get